This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yo, this is In the Conversation, and I am the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad. And as you can tell by me leading the way on this intro, that Damian is out on the road getting to the bag. But we do have guests today. I'm going to let her introduce herself because I will definitely, I practice her name, I'm going to say it.
You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
We have one of my young gunners here, you know what I'm saying, who manages music artists, is young in the city, doing a thing in the industry, and it's a lot going on in the industry this week, and a lot going on in youth culture this week, so yeah. I needed to bring some youth into the building.
Oh, he called me youthful. I feel so happy.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we got Mareb in the building
today. Hey, he did it right.
I practiced it.
Roll
shit.
The R.
I
yes.
It. I know what I'm doing up here.
Yes, this is Mareb, ambitious Mareb on IG, Mereb. If you don't know how to spell ambitious, just let Siri guide you.
No doubt.
Yeah, so I'm happy to be here. Thanks for calling me up.
No doubt. Thanks for coming through.
Hey.
What's happening out here in the young world? There's a lot going on.
I don't know, man. Like, the week, it's a Tuesday, and there's a lot happening. I'm, like, in a funky mood. XXX Tentacion is gone. You know, Jimmy Wapo is another one. It's, like, it's just sad to see young black men getting gunned down in their hood, like, where you're from, in your city.
Right. Now, XX... How you say it?
XXX Tentacion.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a harder time with
you
that.
Just call him X for now.
Yeah,
I know.
X.
Don't get it confused for DMX.
No. I got it. X. Now, I've only seen him in bits and pieces because, you know, I'm out of the range a little bit. I saw the video that he did, you know, that had all the controversy. And then, you know, a couple of little beefs here and there with back and forth with whoever and whatever in the young rap scenario.
Yeah.
So, who was he to you?
Man, it was crazy because while, like, all this music was dropping last week, I was at home. You know, I heard of him before, and he got my attention with his music video where in the video he has a little black boy and a little white boy on stage together, and he puts a noose around the white boy and then hangs the little white boy, and the little black boy is watching the little white boy. Little black boy's watching a little white boy get hung.
Right. That's the one that had all the controversy.
Yeah.
Right.
Not only that, he had beef with other rappers like Drake and everything like that. He shaved his eyebrows off. And, you know, he got knocked out on stage. He was, like, known for, like, punching his fans and stuff. And notoriously,
so somebody,
like,
knocked him out,
yeah.
On his own stage.
Yeah.
That's very disrespectful.
Yeah. But, like,
where
that's...
Where's the security?
You know, I don't know. But... Then again, like, he's also, like, fighting with his own fans, but I think that comes with the territory. Like, he's the type of person to jump in the crowd. You know, just, like, he has, like, a metal rock type of vibe, too, but he has, like, an array of, like, music. What he does is just, it's unique for now, for what's considered, you know, pop, you know? So, and amongst that, like, you know, he was in trouble for, like, beating his pregnant girlfriend and stuff like that. But for me, you know, I heard his music and I liked the vibe it put me in. And I was just like, he sounds different than everyone else, which is refreshing. And I was at home working, playing, like, his music just randomly came on. I'm like, oh, man, I love this. You know, just started listening to it. And then next thing you know, he's shot. And then there's all these images of him, you know, in his car. And it's kind of sad that there's, like, multiple images, like, different angles and zoom ins. I'm like, what is going on?
Of,
like,
people who are taping the incident?
Yo, callous people just sitting there, like, zooming in, snapping, and then have the nerve to also add like, a little description. X shot. Like, what?
Damn.
Yeah, it's like, that's just the type of generation.
They world star his death?
They world star his death, bro. And I think that's, like, we have to kind of find, like, fine line between, like, watching somebody get into, like, a fight and getting knocked out. That's one thing. That's what, like, how WorldStar originated. Now it's just, like, people are incriminating themselves on, you know, on Instagram, on WorldStar and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's just kind of sad, but you kind of see the effect that he had on people. A lot of young people are, like, really devastated because he helped people with, like, you know, suicidal thoughts, helping people with clinical depression.
There's a lot of that going on in the music these days.
But with young people too, which is kind of it makes me wonder, like, what's wrong?
Yeah, you're taking all these drugs. Don't you read the side effects of these drugs? Could cause suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, they say that on the commercial.
It could be, it's drugs, but it's also a lot of pressure, because I think even with social media, you have this pressure to, like, be like the next person that's actually, like, it's just flashing. You know, they could be flashing something that doesn't really belong to them. They could be stunning.
Right. I mean, it was always been stunting. You know, people been stunting ever since I was around.
You know.
And you had to find a way to deal with it. You had to figure out your lane and stick in it and stay with it.
Yeah, but I think more people are vocal and more aware with anxiety and mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're, like, speaking up about it. Because drugs has always been here. You know, even the harder stuff.
Right.
Crack. Heroin.
Right, but crack side effects was like, work harder.
No!
Get more money, buy more crack.
Oh,
that was like
God.
The side effects of crack.
God, man.
Side effects of, like, what's that? Xannies and all that shit is, you know.
Like lean and stuff?
Yeah, it's different.
It's a depressant.
Yeah, like those opioid drugs have different types of side effects, like those pills and shit like that.
Yeah, you know? It makes no sense.
But, you know, I can't say that that's the reason for the season. I'm just saying, maybe that's a thought. Maybe we should choose our drugs better.
Don't do drugs, guys. don't. He's like, hey, instead of doing crack, do meth.
the teeth fall out with meth.
Yeah, yeah.
It ages you by decades.
What is that, by the way? Because I feel like there's categories for drugs, right? There's crack is, like, more for, like, black people. And then
white people do crack too.
No, for the majority, because
you live around more black people that know.
I think meth is. We have some white people in the room, right? Is meth more of a white drug? They don't know.
you think meth? You think white trash? Definitely.
But you know any?
I think Breaking Bad.
Crack.
I think Breaking Bad.
Do you think I know anyone who smokes meth?
I mean, you know. I'm just saying.
One episode of Breaking Bad turned me out, guys.
I come from the suburbs. If anything, it was a pill addiction turned into heroin, not meth.
Right, heroin. Right. Oh, man. Yeah, okay, makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, guys, don't do drugs. Don't do it. And you know, if you have suicidal thoughts, go seek help.
No doubt. So what else is going on in your world?
Nothing. Chilling. I have, you know, I manage artists, so... they have projects coming out in July. Moose Matos.com.
Moose Matos. Okay,
yep.
Who is that?
He is an amazing artist from Philadelphia. You know, he's Eritrean. I've known him for years, and we've been friends for years. And his music actually is really, really, really good. Like, I was a fan of his music, or I wouldn't be managing him. But he has, like, a lot of plays on SoundCloud, like almost 2 million plays collectively for, like, 8 songs. Mm-hmm. And... you know, he landed on some playlists. Go check him out.
He a rapper or a singer?
He does kind of like both, but we're going more so like the R&B route this time because, you know, we've noticed number-wise, that's what the fans like.
Oh, and they like his singing.
They like the vibey stuff.
So is his wave, what is his wave like? How's it, what type of stuff is it? What's the beat like?
If you think more like... like, you know, like the Bryson Tiller, like just a slow, cool, you know, if you're with your boo, you want to kick it and still feel like the man. Like he has records for men and women. You know what I mean? A lot of it is kind of like heartbreak, but it's like, fuck you, I'm the man. Can we curse?
Yes.
Okay.
I curse all the time.
I'm trying to stop cursing.
Well, good luck.
I know. It's hard. New York. So Moose Matos has some stuff coming out.
Moose Matos, and he's Eritrean, which is over there by Ethiopia.
Yeah, right above
it. That's what you are too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my foreheads. Yeah. And also, Doc Cromwell, he is an amazing, amazing rapper, writer. You know, he's landed on Jidenna's last project, the Boomerang Project, on a song with Wale and Jidenna. You know, and he has, like, some writing credits on the Let Out with Jidenna and Quavo. So he has some amazing music coming out. I'm kind of proud of him. I'm so proud of him because he's come a long way as well. He's from Philadelphia. You know, so one of my best friends.
Philly and Africans.
Listen, we got to stick together.
No doubt.
Foreheads and eagles, I guess. No I don't doubt. Know what the hell they call it.
But the African wave is what it is right now.
Is
it's
it?
Most move. What's the name?
We've always been the wave.
Most what?
Moose Matos.
Moose Matos.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like, right now, that Afrobeat wave is tough. Like, it's summer.
Yeah.
And it is, you know what I'm saying, it's going down. You know, the a lot of African DJs are in effect. Davido is popping all over the world. And the African wave is in full effect.
Like, right.
Are you guys tapping into that at all, or are you just...
No. So
why not? You're not tapping into your roots?
No, it's, well, you know what's crazy? Like, the east side of Africa, we're going to make a west east side type thing. So the east side of Africa is more, it doesn't have that what you would call, like, you know, that island vibe. That, you know, it all stems from West Africa, but we don't, that's not typically what, you know, the music we have. We have, like, the boring stuff.
That's not boring. I like.
We have the doo-doom. Doo-doom. And we just dance in a circle. It's nah, really like drums.
Nah, don't be disrespecting the East Africans like that. I like the stuff from the old Ethiopics.
The jazz.
What is the jazz soul? Is they lit. Got the soul. They got the, even in my head, my theme music sounds like 60s Ethiopian music.
I'm so happy you know that.
That's in my head. That's what I sound
with
like.
With the saxophone playing. Yeah, we do have a lot of that too. But you know,
it sounds real Indian. Like it should be going side to side, charming a snake or some shit.
They literally took whatever was popping in the 60s and tried to freak it a little bit and just added some jazz. You know what I'm saying? Like, which is kind of cool because they were trying to. It's a third world country trying to modernize music, but it was. Then we still listen to that type of stuff, you know, and we'll dance to it and have fun. But a lot of it, you know, we don't have a lot of hip movement. We have more shoulder movement. So it's not as fun as, you know, Afrobeats.
Afrobeat, I guess West African got that, you know.
They got that.
Up and down.
They got the swag when they dance.
That East African is kind of side to side, like Indian, like, it's like that. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But I like it. I fucks with it.
Yeah.
Y'all should tap into it. That's a wave.
You think so?
Yeah, you heard it here first.
He's like, give me my credit.
No, I don't even. I want to be on it. I want to help produce it.
Yeah, okay. Well, you produce music?
When I want to.
Do you know how to produce music? That's a better question.
I have.
You have?
Yeah, I have. I have produced music.
When?
In the 90s.
He's like, yo.
But that swag is back too, so I might be time for a comeback.
If you would infuse the jazz... The Ethiopian jazz. Uh-huh. So what would you infuse that with?
It depends. It depends on the track. Like right now, I would put it with some nice 808s, of course.
808s are the way to go.
You know what I'm saying? But definitely hit them with some 808s with the little offbeats. You know what I mean? But something that you could dance to, and something that when we shoot that video and we have all the foreheads in there, it's looking real beautiful. You know what I mean? That, you know, had that old, that's that old original DNA looking like real beautiful original DNA.
We look like, my emoji is the alien emoji. Anytime I'm just like, it is what it is. Call a spade a spade. My eyes are huge. My forehead is out here. I'm like, look at this.
That's
look like the emoji.
That's original DNA. Like, that's what y'all from.
Shout out to Lucy.
The cradle of the goddamn
She's like 3.5 million years old or something like that.
Yeah, that's your auntie.
She's my auntie, yeah. She's our auntie. She's everyone's auntie.
No doubt.
All the DNA traces to her.
I'm just saying.
What's up? Would you ever do like African ancestry? They have like two.
I haven't done it yet, but.
Would you?
I might. My sister did it, so I felt like I seen mine.
They usually say if they do it from like. I guess the mother's side, it kind of like does the whole family. So pretty much you already know. If you got it from her, you know.
Yeah, I saw my sister, so it was like, okay.
What did it say?
I don't remember. It was a while ago. I need to do it, I guess, maybe. It's like that and Siri is like in the same ballpark with me.
Why?
You already know too much shit. Like, the fuck? You need my spit too? Good God, you got my fingerprint, my facial recognition. You need to know my bloodline too?
Yo, that scares me. I don't have my finger, my fingerprint on my phone.
You do. If you press that button.
I mean, I think they do, like, low key, but I mean, if I you press the I didn't button, opt for that.
They know your fingerprint.
We got set up, bro.
I mean, I'm just saying.
That's cool. I'm not trying to commit crimes anyway.
No doubt. I'm a Christian. Anyway, we're gonna make some East African Afrobeat, some kind of way, with some of your artists.
Man, with some like hard, like some guitar, like electric guitar to it. You know what I'm saying? Spice it up a bit.
As long as it don't go too much. We don't want to go too rocky.
Why?
Because that had a wave already. That's old.
What year was that?
I don't know. It passed. Whatever. It came, it went, it didn't stick.
Who would be an artist to like bring that to the forefront though? Because there has to be someone that could catapult that. Like,
because it always sounds like you're trying, like you're trying to be like, you know, when you, as soon as you put the rah, 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 in it, it sounds like you're trying to be Aerosmith in them. Run DMC did it,
but that's still, people still play that record now.
I know,
so that works.
But they didn't make it now. They're not making it now. I mean, I guess you can. I ain't going to shit on the electric guitar. I'm just saying that what I was thinking was some original instruments that we ain't really been accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And then putting that in the mix to where it's like, oh, shit, it sounds like something just new and refreshing because you never heard it on this type of style.
You know, The Weeknd, like, he infused a little bit of his culture, his Ethiopian culture, into that last song with Kendrick. It was on the Black Panther's soundtrack. Uh-huh. And at the end of it, you know, well, throughout it, you know, you hear that la, 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 that part made us foreheads proud.
No doubt. See?
It made us proud. You
gotta,
you know?
You gotta, you
he gave
have
us
to,
a little bit.
You have to put it to the forefront because you have people that will recognize it.
Right.
And it's not the same people that's just always in the mix.
Well, I mean, now people, like, for a long time, no one knew what Eritrea was. So we will always have to say, oh, you know, like Ethiopia, like, you know, right next to each other. And now it's kind of interesting to see, like, Tiffany Haddish, you know, like, pop up. And she's like, yeah, I'm a little Eritrean, you know. It's, mm-hmm. And it's cool because we're like, oh, we got one. You know? You know, it's like when you be like, Bronx, where you at? Like, anytime Cardi B be shouting out, like, you know, it's, like, kind of cool to see that happen. Who knows? Maybe some, you know, musically, Moose might find some inspiration and add that one day. But, you know, artists, it's just, they got to find the right.
He had to find the vibe.
Yeah, definitely got to find the vibe.
No doubt.
What music are you listening to now?
Me, I'm listening to, I'm listening to interviews right now. I'm not even listening to music.
All that music that dropped last week?
I haven't even gotten to it. I was shooting all last week. I was in...
Well, it's 7 songs for, like, each project.
Listen, I heard it. I heard it, but I didn't hear it. I listened to the Nas. I remember the Cop Shot the Kid.
Yeah, that's song, a strong record. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But other than that, I didn't really get into it because we were only listening to it between sets. So we like driving here to there and then. So I didn't hear, I knew it came out, but then Jay-Z and Beyonce came out.
Whoa.
But then, you know what I'm saying, I didn't hear nothing on there that really stood out, so.
Not nothing? Not even Ape Shit?
I heard it, but it, like I said, none of it really said, oh shit, I got to stop and turn this motherfucker up.
I think it was more for the ladies. I think that whole project is more for the ladies, like, you know. It brings a story full circle. You get Lemonade, 444, and then, hey, we back together. Everything is love.
That's so nice. Why they dropped on the same time as Nas, though?
Bruh.
I mean, how'd you feel about that as a youngster?
I mean, as a youngster. Oh, my God, he said it twice. Okay. I honestly think, you know, it's just smart. They're on tour. So, you know, a lot of the stuff they're doing On the Run 2 is more, it's similar to On the Run, the first one. But I think them releasing this this project, it's going to help them boost sales. It's going to help them get some new content on the stage. more money for the family, and it makes sense for the story. The On the Run was pretty much, it was right before Lemonade, right? Yeah, I think it was right before Lemonade. But anyway, I just think that their project is dope. It's more, for me, it's more like a Beyonce fan club thing. I was just like, because I was quick to be like, Beyonce dropped out.
Right.
You know?
This guy, who's this guy talking and rapping?
I mean, it's smart, but they had a lot of great producers on there.
But what about the timing? What about dropping it? In the midst of Kanye's, you know, how many weeks he's dropping records?
I know. I just feel bad for Nas because the conversation that me and Dot had was everyone was talking shit about Nas not having great production. Great lyricist, but not having great production. And now that you have Kanye, you're like, oh, this better be hard, you know? And Kanye's been consistent with so far with everything he's dropped with production. So when he dropped it, everyone loved it. I loved it. My favorite songs, you know, I love Bonjour right now. Like, that's what I'm listening to heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one with The Dream that he has. I mean, he has two, but there's one with Kanye and The Dream that he has. And I really like that record. But, you know, I kind of was just like, it's interesting timing wise. He didn't have a full. I mean, he didn't have a full day like on all streaming services. So I kind of felt bad, but he's. I think he's good. He's rich. It's whatever. He still can go on tour. Yeah, all that matters.
People gonna listen to it. It's not like you're gonna not listen to it because they drop. But you gotta look at it. Okay, Kanye and Jay haven't been the best of friends as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z and Nas have a long-standing feud of sorts that they claim to have patched up, but once you're ethered, I mean, you
that kind of came into mind
really
too.
I wondered about that. Strategy-wise, you know what I'm saying? If you wanted to take a little shot at the two of them getting together auspiciously, you would drop Jay-Z and Beyonce on the same weekend.
If anything, I don't think it was any disrespect to Nas. Maybe it was planned, you know, it was, if any, this is the thing. They don't really make money unless you're Jay and Beyonce. I don't think you make money off of album sales anymore. So it doesn't really matter. Streaming services, who cares? They're all loaded. Like, Nas is loaded. He doesn't need anything. He has investments in tech. He's just like, I'm going to do this for fun. I'm going to drop some heat.
I doubt he's doing it for fun.
If he goes on tour, that'll be cool, but like he's still Nas. He can do whatever he wants.
Business money is cool.
It's not gonna hurt any. No one got hurt.
Right. Business money is cool.
But egos.
But that
maybe.
Shit don't come every week. You know what I'm saying? That shit might come quarterly. Then it's gonna be taxed and looked at real heavy. That tour bag is, you know.
Yeah.
Straight from the promoter in your hand.
Yeah, but I don't think Nas is really looking for that.
I'm sure
he
is.
He's just an artist. He's just a rapper. Like, he's now, like, these kids nowadays, they care about that. They care about the streams. They care about the, you know, the accolades and attention and all that stuff.
I think Nas cares about that bag during them shows.
Yeah, so but
he got bills to pay too.
But he'll be good. I think he's going to go on tour. He's probably going to headline festivals next year. Right. He'll be fine.
No doubt. He's going to be great.
Unless, you know, he gets on a festival this year, which would be fire. But
he probably will. You drop a record to get out there and get to the bag.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, either way, my ears are happy. I got mad stuff to listen to on the train. My ride to Flatbush is okay. That's how pretty much I've been like going through like music that way. Shoot, coming up here, I was listening to Nas.
So, in your life,
yes,
you have been an interviewer for Vlad TV.
Yes.
And you interviewed lots of people. So
yes.
You met lots of new artists coming along the way.
Yep.
When you were doing that type of work, like, what was the most exciting part of that job?
The most exciting part about being like a celebrity interviewer,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much was just like getting to meet some of the people I grew up listening to, and then also meeting and talking to people before like they took off, which is, you know, people are like, oh, you interviewed Cardi B? And I'm like, she's cool. This is before the this is before everything, right? And, you know, her manager was like, yo, can you please premiere her music, though, like, if you're going to do this interview? I'm like, cool. But I think that interview alone got me, like, almost 3 million views on mm-hmm. YouTube. Well, it got, you know, Vlad. But,
right. But everybody hears your voice in the back.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, everyone's like, after talking to me, because you never see my face, and after, conversing with me, they're like, oh, your voice sounds familiar. Where, like, are you... And I'm like, yeah, that's me. Like, you know, it's just like one of those weird things. But seeing stuff like that happen and me being a part of that, right. That makes me feel really good. Meeting Keith Sweat was another big one.
Keith Sweat?
Nobody.
What about Keith Sweat? How do you even know about Keith Sweat?
What? Growing up, listening to Keith Sweat had made me like, you know, it's just the 90s. We didn't have cable, so we had the radio. And then, you know, we would just sit and chill outside. And Philly was like a big R&B town, like, and, you know, in hip hop. So cookouts and stuff, you would play all the R&B hits and then sprinkle some rap in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
you was down with Keith Sweat.
Man, he was fired. Him and Total, like everyone, really, like.
I have a crazy story about Keith Sweat.
What, Dave?
No, it's not a personal story about Keith Sweat, but just the effect. On a young person, like mm-hmm. my son was playing AAU basketball, and we were at the national tournament,
mm-hmm.
and he had a player on his squad. His name is Shaquest, and Shaquest was like Jordan on the team. He was like he had all the style. He had all of, he was good. He was really good. He's from Marcy Projects, and he was killing them, and we got to Virginia, so the tournament is in Hampton, Virginia at Boo Williams Complex. So we're there for a few days, and we were in Waffle House, and Shaquest is at the jukebox, because they had like a jukebox in the Waffle House, and he put a whole $20 bill in the jukebox, and he's, you know, over there playing Keep Sweat. And I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? Out of all the shit that's on the jukebox that you could play, he's 12 years old at the time playing Keith Sweat. And I was like, what you know about Keith Sweat? And he turned, like, when it was on, this is what made me ask him about it. Because when he turned it on, like, he's like he's a little wild kid. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he always, you know, fucking with somebody, just doing something. But when Keith Sweat was on, he was just, like, in a trance, like he was a whole nother person. And I was like, what you even know about Keith Sweat? He was like, my grandma be playing Keith Sweat. I love Keith Sweat. My grandma play. So it just kind of like, I think he was feeling kind of anxious because we were out of New York. We were out of Brooklyn. We were just in a strange place. And Keith Sweat made him feel
at
like
ease.
Home. Like mm-hmm. he turned into a whole nother person. Like he wasn't the kid that, you know, that he was.
Right.
So that's my, I guess Keith Sweat taps the youth.
it's just crazy because it's just, as a child you hear, you know, people playing, but then you're like, oh, you get to meet them.
What'd you talk about with Keith Sweat?
God, what did I talk about with him? Talked about his career. You know, he worked on Wall Street before like breaking out. Like he's from Harlem, worked on Wall Street. Then he's like tried this music thing and it worked out for him, which. Now he's still doing stuff, right. You know, like I think the last thing he was working on doing a project with, what's his name? Oh, 21 Savage.
Keith Sweat and 21 Savage.
Yeah, they talked about doing, I don't know if they ever like released anything, but 21.
Look at Keith Sweat tapping in.
Man, he's doing tours. He talked about his craziest groupie experiences because groupies back then, it's kind of interesting to talk about them because they're like, they're like our aunties and moms now. You know
grandmas,
what I'm saying?
Grandmas now. Shit, nah.
Whoa.
Even some of the women you know now are grandmas.
Yo,
from this era.
There's like VHS tapes, like, you know, on YouTube from like Freaknik and stuff. I'm like, yo, someone's mom is like popping her
mom, grandma.
Like, that's so embarrassing. I would die. I would die.
You gonna be old one day?
Oh my God, my kids are gonna be so embarrassed.
Yeah, and you gonna be grandma, that's you.
That's
the
end.
Shit, I still got it. I don't know what fuck you talk about. Shit.
Yo.
Put on that Keith Sweat.
Shoot, man. Who else? I interviewed. You know my. I don't get nervous like talking to celebrities or, you know, interviewing them. The one person that got me super nervous was Joe. Joe the singer.
From Columbus, Georgia.
Is he from Columbus? Yeah, he is from Columbus, Georgia. That's so weird.
Why is that weird?
Because I just remember that. Yeah. I've been to Columbus, Georgia, too.
For what?
My ex lived on a military base out there.
Yeah, before Benning.
Yep. Yeah. So he was talking about like just doing that, like, and then he asked me, he's like, what's your favorite song? And I named none of his like hits. I was just like, that song. And then, you know, and he's like shocked. He's like, oh, so you really like my, I'm like, yeah. He's like, how old are you? And I told him, I'm not telling y'all. And and he was just like, what in the, he's like, wow. He's like, sometimes I forget how music really impacts people. And he told me about his experience. He did a record with Mariah, but like, he talked about like just, you know, vibing with her and all that other stuff. It's kind of cool.
No doubt.
You know, but I think I still have video where I was trying to take a picture of him and my hands were shaking. Why? Yo, I'm like, why am I so nervous? Yeah, that was a bucket list. That was.
Joe was the bucket list. Who else is on that bucket list? This is very interesting because the youth. Go ahead.
I was at Vlad when Prince died. So, but Prince was like, I always wanted to see him perform and always wanted to talk to him. I feel like he would have dropped some gems. It would have been more of a like intellectual conversation because he was always schooling us and telling us about owning your masters and just, you know, owning everything that you worked hard for. And you know, eventually he did. And then he passed away and then his family sells, you know, that's like, It would have been like one of the dope. I think just talking to him would have been like, yo, Uncle Prince. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fairy Godfather Prince. Like,
yeah.
You know?
That ain't going to happen.
Nah, it's a wrap. I don't know. Who else would be a great conversation? I feel like.
It's just interesting how it's a particular age group of kids, like right around your age group, that. Even though they're young and they do young people stuff, but they vibe and a lot of their inspiration are like older, way older than it should be. Like you saying Joe and Keep Sweat, like that shouldn't even be. You should just be talking about motherfucking Bryson Tiller and all them guys.
I love wisdom. I love like talking to someone that's been through some stuff. Like I want to talk to Lauryn Hill. I want to know. Like, why'd you leave us, you know? And she would say, shit happened. Yeah, I mean, life happens. You're young. You are on fire. And then labels are, like, wanting more and more and more. Your life is, like, collapsing,
girl,
you know?
I had to get away from that shit. I had babies. I had things to do.
She was so
rebellious.
I had
enough money. They couldn't tell me a thing. They wanted me to do what they wanted me to do, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do, which is raise my family.
But you know what's crazy? People were clowning her, well, you know, the people around me, because social media wasn't out there, so I can't say, like, everyone. But people were just, like, coming at her to talk about some. She sound hoarse on that unplugged session, and she was horrible. And, you know, Lauryn, you know, talked about she liked the way her voice sounded. You know, like, it just, it was something heartfelt. And from that, Kanye, you know, got a little bit, a bit for All Falls Down, you know?
Right.
But she might be able to talk to the kids now and tell them about, like, you know, just where your mental is.
Right. And I think it starts with her music. It starts with that album that she's touring with right now. It starts with people like Drake and Cardi B sampling her music and introducing this generation to some of that wisdom and some of that sound.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people tap into it. But I think you just might be like an old soul type of person.
Me?
Mm-hmm. Because the people here on this podcast, they know you as from the grandma level fried chicken.
Fried chicken. Yeah.
So I met Madeb at a house party, and it was, you know, the young people. DJ Clean had me over there with the young people. And walk in, you know what I'm saying, and she's in there making fried chicken. And to myself, I'm like, listen, look, that's cute. That's cute. Look at that. You trying to cook. Oh, look at the young people trying to nourish themselves. You know what I'm saying? And then, so, I'm drinking my beer, minding my business and shit. So the chicken comes out. And then, first thing you notice is that the chicken got a good glow to it. You know what I'm saying? It's got a good complexion. You know what I'm saying? Not a lot of brown spots on it and shit. It looked real smooth and even. I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? She had her temperature right. You know what I'm saying? She did her flips together. Okay. Right. Then I ate it. I tasted the chicken. And the shit was on grandma level taste and flavor. And I couldn't believe it. Like, how does someone so little and young make this fried chicken that tastes like Big Mama?
I'm trying to tell you, it's Philly. It's Philly.
That's what it is.
I swear.
Tell us. The legend of the grandma level
it's
fried
Philly.
Chicken.
Philly. So basically, I learned how to make that fried chicken from my ex boyfriend's mom. She taught me how to pretty much make soul food. So I would be over there and like she would always cook and have Sunday dinners.
Wait. Before you start, so what kind of food y'all ate in the Eritrean house?
Italian, Eritrean food, like a lot of like pasta. My mom would make homemade soup and stuff like that. Like, stuff like that.
Because the Italians was real entrenched in the Ethiopian situation.
Yeah, we were colonized by them. My dad like knew a little bit of Italian. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, so I learned how to cook from my ex's mom. And it's just trial and error. And then at some point I just got good at it. But Philly, you call me an old soul. It's because people take you to church. Everyone out there goes to church. You have Sunday dinners. You have, a lot of... You hear Jasmine Sullivan sing, right? She sings like a grown-ass woman, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of soul singers. This is why, I love R&B music so
much. Philly soul. Y'all had your own type of soul.
Hell yeah. Like, you would go to Larry Gold's studio and record. Like, a lot of people come to Philly to record. It was a great time. Like, that Neo Soul era was such a great time.
So... ex-boyfriend's mama.
Yeah.
Said, look here.
This is how you fry chicken.
And what'd she tell you?
And make some... Yeah, she, wait, am I giving, ingredients out now?
This is what we do. We kind of like a food. You know? It's like a food podcast, sometimes.
You got to have the Lowry's.
Lowry's, of course.
Got to.
Lowry's.
Pepper.
Now, you shake yours in a bag. Do you season your flour or do you season your chicken?
No, don't season your flour. Season your chicken. If you season the flour, it gets lost, like dry. So you season the chicken, Saison, but the chicken kind, mm-hmm. I use that. I use pepper. I use a little bit of garlic salt and Lowry's for sure. And then get that right. And then you dip it in the flour. And the fire, your oil has to be really hot. You know what I'm saying? You have to just wait a little bit before you put it in there and just pay attention to it.
So you gotta get your temperature right.
Yeah, but if you're too lazy and you got shit to do, just get a deep fryer.
But we ain't talking about lazy people. We talking about people who in the conversation who taking an hour out their day and listening to this shit. So these ain't lazy people. These people who are on top of their business.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We not giving out lazy tips.
Right, right.
We giving out real... this is get to the meat of the matter.
Yeah, there's some people that make their fried chicken with egg white. Mm-hmm. Not egg white. It's just like the eggs,
And they put the egg on chicken so the
yeah,
flour
so it's
stick.
Like crunchy. Yeah, it's thicker and it's crunchier, I guess, depending. Mm-hmm. But I don't like that. My mom used to make it like that, and it's just not my thing. It kind of was dry. I think that makes it a little dry, but
it makes the flour a little more thick, and it's just kind of stuck on there, kind of like I forgot who make their chicken like that, like Roy Rogers or some shit like that.
Oh, they disgusting
with the thick flour on top of the chicken. You could basically peel all of the flour off the chicken, and it still just had a skin under the under the
fog. The last time I was at Roy Rogers was going to Maryland, or like going to DC, and you stopped at Maryland House and they had a Roy Rogers in it. Like, never go there.
Yeah, but yours was on point. And
you, I appreciate you killed that. Thank it. You.
But you know what I'm saying? But at such a young age, you know.
That's three times.
The thing that was funny to me was that, you know, you were like Big Mama cooking for the whole tribe.
Yeah, that's what, you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, how you get to be young Big Mama?
You know, just my mom just raised me like that, because anytime we had guests come over, I'm the oldest. So in our culture, it's just like, especially being a female, like when you have guests, you have to like greet them, offer them something to drink, something to eat. And, you know, and in our culture, like if they say they're not hungry, they're definitely hungry. So you just got to get something like ready for them and feed them. But yeah, like just from doing that and my tribe, you know, my collective, I really care about them. So, you know, the Aviated, shout out to Aviated. I care about them. So, you know, and they also show the same type of love back. It's just not one way. So whenever we can, we always like feed the whole family. I never cook for myself. I cook for the whole house. Mm. That's just how we do. We don't be bitching about juice, you know, someone finishing orange juice. Like I bought a whole thing of orange juice, never had one drop. I don't care. Like, as long as everyone's good.
So you Big Mama.
Yeah.
But in a little
kind of. Yeah. Kind of. But, you know, let's call me Big Auntie. Like, you know, Aunt Shirley or something like that. I'd rather be Aunt Shirley.
Nah, Aunt Shirley don't cook for nobody. Aunt Shirley got to go to the club. Y'all good? Okay, I get some sandwich meat in there and some bread. Yo, all right, I'll see y'all tomorrow. I mean,
Might see y'all tomorrow. Morning. Yeah, pretty much for them, yeah. But I got that from my mom. And it's something that, it makes sense, though. I would feel like shit if someone didn't treat me like that, you know?
Right. But you got younger sisters.
Yeah. I have two sisters. My one sister, we are 11 months apart. We're like Irish twins.
Oh, okay.
We're the same age for a month. Same mom, same dad. And then the youngest one is 20. I'm not going to say because she's young. No, she's 26. She's fire. She's in Philly. She's doing her thing. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Nibiet.
What'd you say her name was?
Nibiet.
Nibiet.
Yep.
And y'all call her Nibs.
I call her Nibby.
Nibby.
Mm-hmm. She looks older than me. Not like in a bad way. She's just more like full figured. Mm. Like, so everyone thinks like I'm the baby because I'm so small.
Right.
But yeah. How many siblings do you have?
I'm asking the question. Nah, I grew up with two sisters, but then my dad got married again, so he had four new ones that are like around my kids' age. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like he has 21, 20, then I have 18.
That's lit.
Then he has 16, then I have 14, then we both have 10-year-olds.
Wow.
So
Happy Father's
Day. So what's that? What's that? Four plus two is six. Yeah.
Wow. All like, so it's just, how many boys and girls? You said two.
So I grew up with two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
One older, one younger.
Mm-hmm.
Then three new brothers and one baby sister.
Okay. Yeah, how close are you with them? Like, there's like such a big gap.
Yeah, but so it's more like, you know, it's not like you grew up together siblings. It's like, you know, more like uncle brother.
You have to like kind of school them like a father. Yeah,
you know,
figure.
Sometimes, you know, they don't want no schooling, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, they have their own ways. So so for me, I say it on the podcast all the time. I don't really deal with kids. I got my kids I deal with, but I don't really. The knowledge that I have and the shit that I be talking, you gotta have some little heartbreak and some bills before you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, talking to young people is a challenge for me because the shit I got to say, they ain't ready. They don't want to hear that shit right now. Unless they advance. You know, some kids know what the fuck's going on, but most of them, they just being kids and they don't want to hear that grown-up shit. They got their own philosophies and they're working through them.
I mean, you know that because you've been a kid before, so you had.
Yeah,
your own
but
thing.
See, I was the type of kid. I shut the fuck up and paid attention. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was the type of kid that grown people wanted to tell shit to. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I ain't really saying, even if I ain't understand it, I'm not going to say I ain't understand it. I'm going to just listen. I'm going to take it in. You know what I'm saying? I'm the kid. You know, they you know, I saw a lot and they I was the one they trusted to see a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wasn't going to say shit. I wasn't going to, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't, you know, when my dad left the house, you know, he left me the gun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I, as a kid, but that's, I was a different kind of kid.
No, he left you a gun?
If somebody come in this house,
oh my God.
Aim for the head.
Yo, no way. You knew how to shoot a gun at that age? He taught you how to shoot a gun?
Yes.
How old were you?
About 11.
Lit. Not lit.
Never had to use it.
Not
never
lit, had to but use
it,
lit.
But at the same time, you know what I'm saying? It was a
just
different
in case, yeah.
A different kind of era. You know what I'm saying? That was when people was coming through your window. You know what I'm saying? That's it was a wild kind of time. But again, me, I understood the responsibility. You know what I'm saying? He tell me like, yo, this ain't no toy. It's real shit.
Right.
So you understand the responsibility. You understand. And see, I think the thing is with kids is that a lot of times you don't understand the responsibility. So everything is a fucking joke. Everything is, you know what I'm saying? I didn't come up like that. Mm-hmm. But that was just me. You know, I had friends who was like that. Like, everything is just a joke. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you see things from the other side and you kind of see the consequences and you kind of understand what it is when the cause and effect of different things, then, you know, you start looking at it different. So I say all that to say that, you know, a lot of kids don't understand that shit when you're trying to tell them that. So you had to wait till they bump their head and, you know what I'm saying?
Hard-headed.
Then they understand, like, oh, shit, life ain't okay. Now how the fuck do I navigate this shit? Then that's when I come in.
Right.
Around about 22, 23, you understand? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Some kids a little earlier, you know what I'm saying? I got some nieces that understand. My nieces understand. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to sugarcoat it and worry if they out here acting a fool.
Right.
But a lot of kids, you know, you have to wait. I bumped heads with my sister one time, my younger sister.
How old is she?
She's 20 now.
Okay.
But she came to New York and she stayed with somebody else she knew, which is not a problem. But I didn't know that she was in town. And then nobody let me know she was in town. And they live, you know, in Florida. So she in New York, and it was the weekend of this big blizzard, the last big blizzard or whatever. And so they came in town and, you know, and I heard from my son that she was in town. I'm like, oh, shit, nobody told me. So I called my pops, like, yo, why you ain't telling me that she was in town? Oh, yeah, da, 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 da. I was like, yeah, because if something would happen, who you calling first?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You calling me.
Right.
So you need to, you know what I'm saying, put me up on what's happening. You know what I'm saying? And so I guess he told her. And then she came, she called me and asked me why I was being petty. Exactly. And so I blacked out. And I was like, listen, you got a lot of more living and growing.
Well, how are you being petty? Because you called her dad?
Because she felt like I was saying, you know, I was making a big deal because she didn't call or nothing. I don't really care about that. You live your life. I've been plenty of cities and towns and ain't called nobody. But, you know what I'm saying? So, whoever was the important person in that place, I wouldn't go to no town. I wouldn't go to my dad's town and not call and not say I'm coming to town, even if I couldn't see him.
It's almost like you're the OG rapper and these little rappers need to check in.
Somebody just need to check in because last time she was in town, you know, something happened and I really had to take care of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So don't call me to take care of nothing if you're not giving me the heads up. So I was just saying that. Just give me the heads up. I don't, you know. So when she said I was being petty, I kind of blacked out and told her that, yeah, hey, listen, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got enough growing in you to be telling me about nothing. You know what I'm saying? When I mean, it's just like, you know, I know that's internet talk and all that, but I don't play that internet talk shit when it come to real life situations.
Did she apologize after?
We made up. It was all good. It wasn't even a beef. It's just something you just had to put on the table. You had to let it be known that, you know what I'm saying? Not even in no indignant way. It's just, you know, it's protocol.
I'm so happy I don't have siblings like right now, like that's 20 or like, you know, teenagers. Only because this era is so weird. Like, I was looking at like comparing like photos from like when I was 16 to 16-year-olds now, like wearing contouring your face, like your face is beat. You look like a grown ass woman and doing wild stuff on the social media, but like all that stuff, I don't know. I got that, bro.
We did wild shit. Everybody do wild shit. We just didn't have the internet. Yeah. And I understand all that, but I also understand that it's a certain point when life started to mean something. And that's usually when I come into play, to talking to the youth. You know what I'm saying? Once there's like, motherfucker understand that shit got to be done. And it's things that you had to do, steps you had to take. You know what I'm saying? It's losses you're going to take. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to be just rich at 22 like you thought. You know what I'm saying? It does happen, but you know what I'm saying? For the most part, it doesn't just fall in your lap.
At what point do you graduate to be at that level where you can now like come at people for doing disrespectful stuff? Because I feel like I'm just not there yet. Like I'm
what,
not,
checking my, people?
Yeah.
You check people when you're fed up. So it depends on.
But there's a respect level. I feel like you have right now. You have like the seasoning in life.
Yeah, but that's. It's a claim. You got to stake your claim wherever you at. And you know what I'm saying? So even if I was 20 and somebody was coming at me, you know, there's a certain level where I'm going to check. I'm going to check my little, you know what I'm saying, my ground. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand my ground or wherever I'm at. So wherever you at whatever time, you had to figure out what things are important to you and what things you're going to stand up for.
Right.
And that's just it. So I'm sure there are things where you put your foot down, you know, in all your different relationships. So that's how it goes. You at work, there's certain things that you're going to take and there's certain things you're not. Or you're going to get ran over. So you have to be cognizant of where your line at and what your brand stands for and what are your rules, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
In the workplace, I didn't have too many damn jobs and shit. So, but when I worked at Vibe, Bevy Smith was like the prototype on standing your ground on your rules and regulations of your brand in the workplace. Nope, that's not going to happen because that's not what I do. And you know what I'm saying? And these are the things that nope, mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? And it seems odd because, you know, you're here talking to her boss like somebody on the street. But it be real talk. And they had to respect it. And that's when I learned that you can make your rules, you can make your boundaries and enforce them no matter what. Because really, all they leasing your time. They not leasing your life. So they get 8 hours a day of your time. Yeah. They don't own your mind. They don't own your life. So you have to figure out what's the boundaries on that and play it out.
See, with that, I feel like people are like, so I graduated college during the recession, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think people now like are kind of scared because they went from like, everyone like pretty much lost their job, or even if they got a job right out of college, they got, you know, they got rid of that position just to consolidate. I think now like people are kind of scared to like, they're, you know, PTSD, like you're just worried about not having somewhere to a roof over your head if you're like living in a different city, and you know, you might lose your position for speaking up or demanding more pay, you mm-hmm. know. It's just it's a weird place that we're in now.
Yeah, but shit.
That's why there's a lot of entrepreneurs now, you know?
Yeah, but shit, I started a business in the middle of the recession and failed and bumped my head and fell out and fell down and shit, seen the bottom. You understand? But at the same time, since I seen the bottom, I know it ain't really much y'all can motherfucker tell me, man. So if you're going against what I feel is right, and I set my company up in a manner that no one client controls my company. So if I lose one because we not on the same page and we can't get along, then so hey, so be it. I'm not afraid of losing a client because there was a time I ain't had none of them. So you really get clued in when you ain't got shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you look at the real lessons from the recession, you can understand that you still motherfucking sitting here, right?
Right.
You ain't dead.
Right.
It didn't play you all the way out. When you ain't had no job, you ain't fall out in the street.
I almost did. I almost went to law school after that. I was like, listen, I don't even know what to do
but
anymore.
But that's a hell of an option.
Yeah.
Other than, you know what I'm saying, you could have been homeless under the bridge.
Right. True.
But at the same time, you wasn't.
True.
You know what I'm saying? You could worry about that being your lot, but it wasn't. You know? So when people come at you in the wrong way, then and you feel like it's not a place where that's healthy for you. I mean, I'm saying you gotta be happy every day, but some places become unhealthy, become toxic for your personal being. Then you might need to be looking for somewhere else to be.
Right.
You might be looking for something else to do. So, again, you go day for day. You out here in the world. The world ain't killed you yet. You make shit happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, I woke up. Shit, I got shit I could do. You know what I'm saying? And you go for them. And you do that shit every day. On one of them days, something's going to come back. And then you're going to be like, ooh, I won.
Right.
And then another thing going to come. And then you're going to be like, ooh, I'm winning. And then you take that collective winning and turn that shit into momentum. And then you look around and your life ain't the same no more. You ain't worried about none of that shit what they was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it is. It's how the fuck far can you get away from the toxic life and into a life that is productive and positive and reinforcing to your spirit and well-being.
Right.
And bottom line and bank account.
Right. Bank account's important. Very important in New York City right now.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the whole thing is just don't be scared. Don't be scared of going for the shit you know is right.
Your gut tells you, it's like your sixth sense. Your gut tells you, but sometimes we avoid it. Or we're just unsure, which is, it's natural, but.
You're scared.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the biggest decision I had to make was I had to leave a comfortable situation in Philadelphia. And I got a job on a Wednesday. I took it. I told them, yeah, I got a place to live in New York. You know, I moved to New York. I did not. Moved to New York, and you know, I just walked into my job. They gave me the job. I walked into my current job, my previous job. I'm sorry, and I told them, "Hey, you know, I'm done."
Friday's my last day. The comfortable situation was the job in Philly.
Yep.
And then you found a situation in New York that you lied to get.
Yep, I sure did.
And so you got it, but then you had to live up to your lie.
Because the only reason I didn't get I was perfect for the job. The only reason I didn't get it was because I didn't live in New York.
Right. So you told them, I live in New York.
Yep. On a Wednesday. And then I quit on a Friday. I mean, I quit that day. I told them, my last day was on a Friday and then moved on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'm here now, 7 years later.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like sometimes you just got to do it. You have to realize you have nothing to lose unless you have like kids to worry about or, you know.
I got kids.
I mean, It's just like for me though to up and just leave, right? And I didn't have that much money. So I had enough to like take care of me. You know what I'm saying? Like I just once you realize you really don't have nothing, you're the only one stopping yourself mm-hmm. from doing something great. I was like, okay, this amount of money can like last me a good month and I left.
All right, so for, you know, your friends and the youngins coming behind you. Mm-hmm. What are some of the lessons you've learned from moving out here and chasing the things that you're chasing?
With some of the what?
Lessons you've learned that you can expound upon.
Oh man, don't live your life like it's just like that's it. Basically, you only have one life. So for me, I always think about, this might sound kind of deep, but like I always think about like people that are no longer here, right? Like you see that rapper that just passed away, mm-hmm. XXXTentacion. You know, he was on his way to doing some great things and that was it, right? I try to live my life like tomorrow isn't promised and take every opportunity that comes my way. So even if it's like I'm on my way home, I got to go pack and you call me up like, hey, come do this podcast. And I'm just like, okay. You know what I'm saying? I told myself when I was working at a startup company and I wasn't making that much money. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go to every event and just, you know, and try to make the most of it and build my network. So like for my advice to y'all, like it's just to don't get comfortable. And you know, push to what you really want, because the only person stopping you is you, mm-hmm. you know? And that was pretty much my story. I was stopping myself, and now I'm just like, I'm on a roll. You know, once you just get over that fear, that hump.
So, you were stopping yourself.
I was stopping my goddamn self. Nobody else, just me.
The motherfucker in the mirror.
yep.
No doubt. Tell the people where you're going to be.
Oh, man.
Where they can find you?
Where they can find me? I'm gonna be at Caroline. No, you can find me on IG. That's pretty much where I'm always gonna be. Ambitious Medeb. Ambitious, spell it out. And then my name, M as in Mary, E R E B as in boy. And you know, I just want to give a shout out to my artist, Doc Cromwell, Moose Matos, and a shout out to Dio Mata. She just dropped a record. I Just Want You. It's fire. And Miss Beautiful. So. Check that out.
And that's all Aviated people.
Yeah.
And Aviated is what?
It's a collective out in Brooklyn. It's been a growing collective, but it has like a bunch of strong women and of course, you know, men in our collective as well that do amazing things, fashion, jewelry, design, sing, rap, act, all this great stuff.
And then y'all like the second generation of the Jadena them people. So how that work?
Shout out to Jadena and Fair and Fancy. They're dope people. They're like always warm and welcoming and always like giving us advice about how to break into the world of the industry.
But they occupied the space that you guys live in before y'all get lived in.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. I think that's their story that they should tell before.
What happens in this house stays in this house. Don't even say nothing about this motherfucking house on these podcasts, you know? Talking too much and shit. But anyway, y'all can catch her on the Instagram at Ambitious Medeb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can find all her artists on the SoundCloud. Doc Cromwell.
Definitely.
And Moose Matos.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. And shit, y'all know where to find me. I'm at Instagram, Mr. Muhammad, at Twitter, Mr. Muhammad. And I'll be right back at you next week.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.